You know, I think I wrote myself a little note on the top of my... Sometimes I do that, you know, I write myself little notes on the top. Not something I'm going to say, just something to remind me of what I'm doing. And so my note to myself this morning, I will also share with you guys with the challenge that I gave you earlier. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And what we do and what we're called to do, we don't do in our own strength. And I'm glad about that. Because I can stand here and teach, preach, whatever you want to call it, and know that it's not up to my words, but it's just a vehicle that God will use to actually demolish areas of people's life that are out of control. Out of control means under control of the devil or self. So, things that I can't reach, you know, things I have no power to reach inside somebody's heart and change. Yet, we do have a weapon of divine power to demolish even the strongholds, even the deepest, darkest, most secure things, the things that hold a person down, the things that keep a person from changing, from becoming like Christ. That in this way, we have weapons that are not our own that will actually tear those things down. And so I was just reminded myself of that, that it's not up to me, that, you know, there is such an eternal hope that things really do change. Okay, we are on the still talking about the things that the early church was devoted to, and things that we need to be devoted to. And we got most of these from Acts 2, 42 through 47. They're in there in some form or another, or the surrounding verses. And I'll tell you, I want to repeat these things enough that you don't even, you know, training, you know what training is? Like, training, like, it could be in the military, it could be athletics, it could be academics, that when training has really done its job is when you don't have to go, now, what do I do next? It just happens. You know, you're a defensive back covering a wide receiver. You've done it so often. When he does a down and out, you just go with him, if you know what that means. And so when you're under attack or when you're not sure what to do, training is, you know it so well, it's in you, it's a part of you, that you respond in a way because you've been trained to respond in a way according to the scripture. So I'll repeat these things and you'll say, why do you always repeat this stuff? It's training. So that in a difficult situation or in confusion, you know, in temptation you get confused. That's all. You're always confused when you're tempted to go another way. You or the enemy, somebody creates a fog and you just can't see clearly. And so, kind of like under time crunch when you're wondering what to do, where to focus your attention. Well, you know, the Word, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ on the cross, prayer, praising God, evangelism. And you know, this is the one we're going to look at today, is evangelism, what the early church was focused on. Now it should be, this is an encouragement to me to know that we can individually as an body and as a body improve. We can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when I think about things like the Word, I think about how far every person in this body has come concerning the Word. Their attitude toward, their time with, or abiding. I mean, we can talk about abiding and it means something. Yeah, people are going to say, as was shared this morning, that I don't know if I'll ever really abide. But yet, when we talk about it, we relate to it because you've struggled with it. You've tasted of it and you know what it's about. So this thing with evangelism that we're going to talk about today, that this will be a struggle too. Yet if you taste of sharing the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, then at least we'll be able to really experientially talk about it, that we have experienced it, we've done it. And so I believe this is where we are. This is where the Holy Spirit has it. I think when we talked about abiding, that's where we needed to be. When we talked about faith, that's where we needed to be. When we talked about marriage or the family and all those things, this is, and what I see, us as a body, when we focus on something, I see the body respond and do it. Now that's amazing. It's not just hypothetical that we actually take action on these things. And so when we talk about this evangelism, it's not something we've really focused that much on before. I think this is where God has it. And so when we talk about it, that means that I believe that's where the Holy Spirit has us, and that He'll give us opportunities, He'll open doors, and He'll give us the power to walk through them, the power to do it. I believe that we're ready to be obedient. That doesn't mean that we have to have everything perfect. But I believe that there are steps that have to have been taken to really follow through. And I believe that we are ready for that. I believe that's where God has us. Last week we talked about faith. And faith is critical to every single one of these things that the early church was devoted to. And we looked at these people, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, that they were a people of history. They were a people, they knew about trusting God. I mean, whether individually they may not have trusted God, but they knew as a people what it meant to trust God. They knew that Abraham became their father, the father of Israel, and also the father of many nations by faith. They knew this. It was ingrained in them. They were trained in it. They could respond with that answer. And I believe when the early church started, it was all Jewish. We've said that a number of times. It had a Hebrew, a Jewish flavor to it. They brought with them to the church this history of faith. What it meant to live by faith. To please God by faith. Now, it's all the more because of the Holy Spirit living in them. Now, all those faith stories really had some oomph to them now. They really meant something now. So, now in the New Testament, now that they are a church, they were not a church before, now they're a church, they brought with them this radical idea of believing God. Believe in Him. He said it. There it is in the Word. The apostles taught it. I believe it. I will live by it. I believe it. That was their attitude. So, we read this last week, but I'll read just a few things that relate to this as they were as the church was growing. Obedience by faith, saved by faith, righteous by faith, live by faith, encourage others by faith. Oh, you of little faith, they were corrected. Your faith has healed you. According to your faith, it will be done. Anyone who has faith will do what I have been doing. Obviously, some of these are from the Gospels. Justified by faith, take up the shield of faith. We have heard of your faith, your work produced by faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. Reckon it to be true by faith that you are dead to sin. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith without deeds is dead. Well done, my good and faithful servant, the thing we will hear in the end, hopefully. So when we talk about evangelism, you think it's built on this foundation of faith. That when God tells us to do something, and He tells us we'll have the power to do it, then we need to do it believing Him. And when we do it believing Him, we'll please Him. We'll please Him. So the avenue for us to be what we're called to be and to do what we're called to do, the avenue is always faith. It's always by faith that we do what He's called us to do. If you remember, we did a study of the church last year. And we talked a little bit about disciple making in the early church. And we talked about the purpose of the church and that you are the church. Individually, You are a part of the church. So whatever the purpose of the church is, the thing that drives the church should also drive you. It should also be your purpose. Because if you're bringing some other purpose into the body, then that's taking the church in the wrong direction, even in a small way. So we bring to the church, we have the same purpose of the church, and we bring that in to the rest of the body. So, the early church was committed to the purposes of the church, the purposes of Christ. They were even willing to die for those purposes. And we had a good discussion on Thursday night on the idea of getting in harm's way for the sake of the gospel. And we had a discussion on that. It was good. But many did get into harm's way. Many died for the sake of the gospel. They were committed to the point, not just of sacrifice, but even death. That shows their commitment to the gospel. To see the things that they were committed to, just think back to the devoted to that we repeat over and over. They were devoted to those things. So here's a quote from our, people don't usually quote themselves, do they? But here's a quote from our last, from last year in our study of the church, talking about, making disciples. You are a part of something huge and deep and eternal. God is calling people. He is rescuing people from eternal punishment and bringing them into His own family and progressively conforming them to His image. And He wants you to be a part of it and His plan to do that here and around the world through His local body. And when we are fully engaged in this, we then too are in a place for Him to do His work in us. So He is rescuing people, reconciling them to Himself. That's His purpose for mankind. And He has not just invited us, commanded us to be a part of that. So, making disciples is obviously at the heart of the church. That's at the heart of the church. The idea of seeing the lost one and then equipping and training and preparing and sending out. Now, the part we're going to talk about today, and this will just be an introduction. The part we're going to talk about today is that part of boldly proclaiming the gospel, declaring the gospel, sharing our faith, evangelism. That's the part of making disciples that we're going to be into. It's where God has us now. So let's go. One of the part C on your outline, Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All of the people spoke the word of God boldly. And then 5:42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ, proclaiming the gospel. And 8:1-4. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And down to 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word. Now this is everybody but the apostles. This is the church. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So, something you see, a characteristic you see of the early church is boldness. They were bold in proclaiming the gospel. What does boldness look like? What does that look like? You know, it's apostles, but I see an example of boldness with Peter and John. You remember with the lame man that was outside of the temple and that was waiting there. And Peter, you know, the story that told him that he didn't have any money to give him, but, that he was going to heal him, basically. And that was bold. Now, he hadn't even shared the gospel yet, but he was boldly reaching out to this man. It didn't mean that he had to hand him a tract. It didn't mean that he had to immediately say, "You're a sinner." But it was still bold. He reached out to him to meet his need. And it was bold. Now, he followed it, obviously, with the gospel. I think the boldness I see in these people is they were determined to share the gospel. It wasn't, if the door opens, I'll share. They were determined, it was in their heart, to share the gospel. They were fearless and they were open. Now, they were not obnoxious. They had discernment. And we'll get to that a little more deeply. So, and I think most of us know that that's not what we're talking about. But there is a fearlessness that we saw in them. They were not afraid of man. Maybe that would be a better way to put it. We have a message for the world. Let's go to Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We are promised both the power and the words and a blessing if we follow through with the command to go and make disciples. And this particular part of making disciples we're talking about is sharing our faith. And what you see, I think, you see in the early church, you see the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching by the apostles in public places. But what you see from the people, I think you see more of this through their family, their friends, in the marketplace. One of the main is that if one person in a family would receive the gospel, then what you see is that spread through that family. Now, it may take years, it may take a long time, but you see that over and over. And to apply faith to that situation, apply fearlessness to that situation, that's how God works. We see it over and over. It's through family. Now, you see, we're not going to try to just narrow this down and say one way, but we want to have our eyes open that just because your family has seen a change in your life and that you've shared with them once or twice and that they have rejected you, that does not mean that it's over. And we also, with our circle of friends, that you see generally, that's where you see the gospel go out, or through connections that already exist. Friends, family, but there also is obviously, there's the chance interaction. There's the long-term investment. And there's the one opportunity type of thing, that this is my only chance. I need to share the gospel now. Obviously, there is using discernment. And there's not being presumptuous with people. But it could be inviting to be a part of the body. It could be sharing your faith. But here's what I'm getting to. Underlying all this, it goes back to that boldness, that there's a bold determination to proclaim the gospel. And if you think back to your motivation, that God died for these people, that He loves them, and His method of telling them about His love is you. That's the method that He chose. So, His message to us is, you must testify. Let's go to John 15:26. When the Counselor comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then if you want to just see what the gospel is, you can read that next sentence. It tells you what the gospel is. That he was a substitute. So, he says, be my ambassador. I'm making my appeal through you. Now, we're not going to get to all the detail today. But there's a command, there's a commission. And we need to investigate, how do we follow through on this command and on this commission? The gospel is shared in many ways, but we are promised, here's faith, we are promised that we will receive power to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8. We are promised to receive his power to be his witness. So, as we said, the gospel is shared in many ways. There's proclamation. There's a preacher standing up and preaching. There's the fellowship of... The gospel is shared through the fellowship of the body. Loving one another is a critical part of the gospel going out, because we're told in John 17 that that's how God is seen, is through the God's love for the world is seen through the love in the body. So the fellowship of the body is one way that the gospel is shared. Teaching is the way the gospel is shared. Going through firm foundations, that's what that is. It's teaching the gospel. And you see that over and over in the early church. The gospel wasn't just a one-time proclamation. It was a teaching of the gospel. But where are we in this? What's our point in this? This topic of evangelism. This thing the early church was devoted to. Our point is going to be this, that you must testify. You also must testify. Now the body will help. We will help. We will be partners. There will be body life. There will be firm foundations offered. And we may even do some events that you can, we may do we've talked about doing a Narnia where we would come and discuss the themes of Narnia. And you could bring someone with you that has an interest in that. But what it's really going to come down to is you also must testify. Now, we've talked over and over about, we know that our lives must be in order to do this. We know that our driving purpose must be in line with God to be able to do this. So, but we're not going to dwell on those things. We've covered that. So, an unusual thing for Sunday morning, but I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Turn to Acts 26:9 for an example. Acts 26:9. This is Paul talking here. He's talking to King Agrippa. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went... I'm not going to read the whole thing. You see what Paul is doing here? He's sharing his testimony with King Agrippa. He's saying to the king, King, look at me. This is the way I used to live. This is personal. This is how I used to think. This is how I used to feel. And this is what I used to do. But something happened to me. All that changed. This is what happened to me that changed my life. And he tells him about the day that he met Jesus. And it changed everything. It changed everything. So your assignment is to do But Paul wrote down his testimony here. I would like for you, now you may not be a writer, maybe you'd rather do outline form. That's fine. But you think about what is your testimony? What is your testimony? What did it used to be like for you? What's it like now? What happened? How did you meet Jesus? Now, obviously, if people would be delivered, if people would be saved, if people would come into a relationship with God, they obviously have to come to the point to see their sin, or they'll never come to God. God demands that of us. We see our sin, we repent. But you see this over and over, that you need to be able to testify to what has happened in your life and be able to explain that to somebody that does not understand. So think that through. Think it through and write it down. Are you devoted? Are you devoted? As the early church, they were devoted to evangelism. Is your life devoted to evangelism? Now something else we're gonna, like I said, this is an introduction, we're about to wrap this up, but we'll be on evangelism again next week. Hopefully you'll have some input for me from your, going over and thinking through and writing down, just as Paul did, your testimony. Also, if you have some questions you would like for us to deal with as we talk about this, put those in the basket today. Put those things in today. If you have questions about sharing your faith, questions about evangelism that you would like to see dealt with next week, then we'll deal with them. You put them in the basket and we'll deal with them. This is commanded of us. You also must testify. And you must be devoted to the thing that Jesus was devoted to. And He was devoted to seeing the world reconciled to God.